Welcome to another edition of The Entrepreneur's Edge, where we take a detailed look at progressive cutting-edge businesses. My name is Brian Taylor, and today we're going to be speaking with Steve Eberhardt, founder and president of The Senior's Choice, one of the fastest-growing senior companion care business opportunities in the country. Steve has invited me to his California office to speak with him about his experience as an entrepreneur and provide you with some powerful tools as well. He's also going to give us an in-depth look at his current business, The Senior's Choice. My hope for you today, the listener, is that you'll notice the distinctions and similarities between Steve's businesses and the previous successful businesses I've interviewed, and the subtle differences that make it unique. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to meet with me, Steve.
My pleasure, Brian. It's really a pleasure to be here, and I thank you so much for making me a part of your program.
Steve, I've heard from many people that you're a self-confessed serial entrepreneur.
Well, I guess maybe that's true. There's no question about it that I've been responsible for building several different companies in several different industries, and certainly I'm a student of entrepreneurialism, and I've been involved in several of my own businesses that I founded, co-founded over the past 25 years. So I guess I really am a serial entrepreneur.
Yeah, that's quite an experience. Tell me a little bit about your entrepreneurial experience.
Brian, I started my career back in the early 70s as a CPA with Arthur Young and Company, one of the then Big Eight CPA firms, now one of the Big Four. It's now part of Ernst & Young. And that was a wonderful training ground for me. And I spent several years and became a tax manager. And I actually thoroughly enjoyed and loved that business. And I was blessed in so many ways because it's where I met my very first mentor, really, in my life and certainly in my business life. And, you know, I just decided one day that in the late 70s, 1980 actually, that I wanted to chase my own dreams. And Herb had been telling me that for years, that really I ought to do where my heart takes me. And self-employment was something that I really had in mind. So I basically just quit my job, even though I had a young family at the time, and set out building companies, and I certainly don't regret that. But it started off as a CPA, and I got a great training ground. And I've been involved in actually four different industries, from real estate acquisition and development to banking and finance, securities business. So I've been involved in a whole host of business. And then I really recognized my calling in the early 90s. And acquired a franchise company that had just started out that was struggling. And I acquired that company, which is known as the Dentist Choice. It's the nation's leader now in dental handpiece repair. We have a dominant leading position there, and I learned so much from that franchise business I decided that I knew at that point what I really wanted to do, and I was along with the team that I built. We were instrumental in growing that company and tripling its revenues, and we're in that dominant position today. And this was along back in 1998. A friend of mine came to me, knowing that we had much success with our national rollout with our franchise company. He came to me with this idea for a senior companion care business. And I knew right then, because of a personal experience that I had, Brian, that senior companion care was really where my heart was. And by then, I had built several of my own companies, one of which was Nashville in scope, the leader in our industry. And I realized that really helping other people build their businesses and accomplishing their financial dreams and goals was really where my heart was. So that's how I ended up founding and developing the Senior's Choice, and I'm glad I did.
It's amazing how all of your different skills came together and how that's really made the business that you've started today and all of your other businesses so successful.
Yeah, it's been a building block, and I think that's important for anybody that's considering self-employment or becoming an entrepreneur, is you want to make sure that one, you have a proper foundation, and that it does build, and you're not just simply abandoning your strengths and your foundation, but right. That it's a building block. So working with other members around the United States and helping them build their businesses, promote and operate their businesses in the most effective way has been something that frankly I'm good at, and just coincidentally I also love. So it's been a great combination.
Absolutely. What would your definition of success be as an entrepreneur?
Well, that's a good question. We ask that question a lot of our prospective members. And really, to me, a successful entrepreneur or an individual that has a successful career, to me, is someone who is really lucky enough to combine their strengths, things they're really good at, with their passion, things they really love doing. If you do that, you might build a masterpiece. Mm-hmm. The combination of your strengths and your passion is really important. And if you can combine that, those two characteristics, the strength, your strengths, what you're really good at, and your passion, and you can do it in a setting or a culture or an environment where you're working with other like-minded people that share a lot of those same sort of qualities, to me, that's success. It's not so much a money thing. It's just really, it's how fulfilling your career really is. Are you doing something that you really feel good about at the end of the day?
Yeah, absolutely. We hear that time and time again. If you had to say, I mean, one of the things that I always like to find out is some of the defining moments. So what would you say some of the defining moments in your career as an entrepreneur have been?
Well, some of the more salient defining moments are certainly some of the mistakes that I made, which I think is true with all successful entrepreneurs. We're certainly not going to bat 1,000. But I know I made some significant mistakes early on, principally from the standpoint of thinking I could do it all on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I just realized in the several of the industries and businesses that I've been in the last 24 years, that had I reached out to others more often and made that just part of my business life, I would have been well served. So I think it's really important that you understand that a successful entrepreneur, a successful business person, simply cannot do it all by themselves. So that's been an important thing to me, which is one of the reasons I built the Senior's Choice. Was so that we could be that mentor, if you will,
mm-hmm.
And that people wouldn't have to do what I've done over the years, that they truly would have the tools and resources in order to promote and operate their businesses. The other thing, too, is a simple little formula that I learned years ago, and it's really served me well, and it is a defining moment to me, because I understand now that in order to accomplish what I set out to do, I've got to work very effectively mm-hmm. in what I'm doing every day. So one of the things that has served me well over the years has been the question that I constantly ask myself every day, and that is, am I doing right, what I'm doing right now, am I doing things that are going to get me the results that I want in my life, in my business, that are going to get to get me to where I want to be in terms of my goals.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that I have the goal line in sight. I know mm-hmm. what it's going to look like when I get to that goal line. And I constantly ask myself the question, am I working on things right now that are going to get me the results that I want in life? So that's been an important and probably one of the most important things that I've learned as an entrepreneur all over the years.
And that helps keep you focused on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, it does. It keeps you working on things that are important and not working on things that are unimportant. It keeps you working on things that you're really good at and not working on things that you're not so good at. You may end up not doing those things in your business, but as you grow your business and you take it to the next level, you'll end up hiring other people to do those daily things that you're not any good at or you prefer not doing.
Well, that's a great point. I mean, it's amazing how many people will actually go out, and I'm sure all my listeners can definitely relate to this. At least I can. And that is, how many times have you ever set a goal, if you will, and then put your head down and ran for the goal and never bothered looking up and to realize that you ran completely off the field and you're up in the stands?
Right.
You're in a totally different place. Just and you read the book and said, set the goal and do what I'm supposed to do. And you did those things, but it's not checking in. And that's one of those the distinctions that I really love that Steve brings. I mean, it's one of these things that if you don't have a pen and paper out now, you should. Because these are the things that are going to make such a huge difference in your life. It's these simple distinctions. And being able to focus like that and having that burning question is, what am I doing right now leading me towards my goals? I mean, that's amazing.
Yes, the little things that you do in life that really get you the results is that 80-20 principle. It's just 20% generally of what you do in your life gets you 80% of the results. So that's an important principle that I live by.
You know, I come across a lot of people that have this kind of, I guess, well, I would say more of a false belief, if you will, because you and I don't share that same belief, but that you have to come from money, if you will. You have to have a successful background. You have to be from rich parents or anything like that. But you didn't come from that kind of background, did you?
No, and you know what, I know a lot of people think that's true. It takes money to make money.
Right.
That's really not the case. The vast majority of entrepreneurs today and over the history of our industrialized society and now our informational society, they're blue-collar sort of people. They're the B students of the world, if you will. So absolutely not. You know, there are certainly cases of the rich kids that build businesses and they have the wherewithal in order to do that. That's really that they're really in the minority.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of just individuals. My friends, most of which are self-employed people, entrepreneurs. We all come from very humble beginnings, but we all have some common characteristics. That's
what advice would you offer to someone who has maybe reached a plateau in their business or career? I mean, they're at that point where maybe they're just not feeling fulfilled or they almost have that question of, you know, what do I want to do with my life? I mean, that they work and they work hard at what they do, but they just feel I don't know, it's almost empty at the end of the day. They just don't feel like they're fulfilled. What advice would you offer to somebody like that?
Well, I think you see that a lot now, especially with the baby boomer generation that I'm part of is we've been doing what we've been doing the last 20 or 25 years, but it really isn't fulfilling. It certainly pays the bills, but it's really, really not what we're after. We're after something else, perhaps. Not everybody. But I think for those individuals that don't really have the passion for what they do, they've got the skills. Mm-hmm. They're good at what they do, but they don't have the passion. I think would be well served, of course I'm prejudiced, to consider self-employment,
mm-hmm.
to consider doing something that perhaps will give you the fulfillment that you're looking for in life. Self-employment is a wonderful thing for many reasons, including independence and flexibility. And at the end of the day, you really feel good about what you do. But I would caution people, especially career people, that quitting your day job is probably not the right thing to do unless you're going into a business that's a natural extension of what you've been doing over the years. In other words, as we talked about earlier, do you have a foundation built? Do you really understand the business that you're getting into? And is it a natural extension of what your strengths are, the things that you're really good at? So if you've been in sales in your whole life and you're really strong at that, but you're tired of selling pencils, maybe there's a business that's just right for you where you can use the years of experience in selling to your advantage and build something that works for you. So I think fulfillment, to use your term, is an important consideration. But you know, self-employment isn't for everybody. That's mm-hmm. That's for sure. But it is something that I believe that people should take a hard look at, because anymore, working for corporate America isn't the safe thing to do. It used to be that way,
mm-hmm.
but with the transiency of employment now, companies coming and going, one of the biggest risks I see in working with prospective member candidates around the United States, the biggest risk they're taking sometimes is complacency, mm-hmm. staying in their current employment when downsizing perhaps is on the horizon, inevitable. They're better off taking action now to figure out what it is they want to do in their life and begin to build and expand on their foundation. So in the event they are laid off, and boy, we see this every day, they've got some direction. They've got some direction, so that would be my advice.
Yeah, it seems like every day you open up the newspaper and the headlines have been replaced. When you think about the headlines of today versus 20 years ago, today it's right size, cap size, or downsize, or any combination of the above, versus maybe 20 years ago it was find a job at a Fortune 500 company and, you know, set up your desk and plan on being there.
Yeah.
And that's really what you did. I mean, you showed up to work, you put in your 25, 30 years, and you retired.
Right. Right. So times have changed.
Absolutely.
Times have changed. Job security is a real issue with a lot of people in a lot of different industries, and for good reason.
Now, for people who haven't heard much about senior companion care, how would you describe this unique business?
Our members that join us are business owners, entrepreneurs that provide a very important service to elderly people and their families. What we do is we keep senior citizens living independently in their own homes for as long as possible. When you do that, you improve the quality of life of the senior and you improve the quality of life of the family as well.
Mm-hmm.
So our business is all about keeping seniors independent. Loss of independence for a senior is the number one fear that all seniors share. The loss of independence. So our business, the service that we offer, the scope of our services is all about doing things, tasks, non-medical in nature or in scope, around the house to keep mom or dad at home living independent in their home as much as they can be independent without having to live with relatives, kids, going into an assisted living facility or other sort of residential care facility. Our business owners do that by hiring, screening, and training very, very capable caregivers to go into the homes of their elderly clients and provide that respite care to the client, which really helps out the family members. There's 25 million primary family caregivers in America today that spend almost 20 hours a week, every week, caring for an elderly person. And what we do know is that 75% of these family primary caregivers are females employed in the workforce. And many of them are part of the sandwich generation, having kids, teenage kids still at home. So these people are really, really, really burdened.
It sounds like they've got an extra job.
They have an extra job. They have several jobs. They have their own family to care for. They have their job during the day, and then they have the job of caring for their parent or parents in the evenings and the weekends. So I don't know how they do it. The other 25% of family primary caregivers are men. Men are also in the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
And as we all know, men are wimps. They can't even take care of themselves, let alone anybody else. So there's a huge opportunity in America today to help the family members out by helping mom or dad stay at home. So that's what our members / business owners do.
Now, most of the other companies that offer this service as a business, they operate as a franchise, don't they?
Well, certainly many do.
Mm-hmm.
The industry, the business of caring for mom or dad has been around since Adam and Eve,
mm-hmm.
let's face it.
Right.
But this cottage industry that we're all a part of now really, really began to mature in the early 90s, really almost middle 90s. And the reason for that is the maturation of the baby boomers. You see, the baby boomers are now, you know, obviously the people are living longer, so their parents are living longer, and now they've reached their 50, mm-hmm. 55, they've reached their, you know, nearing retirement age, and they realize now that life, semi-retirement or retirement, isn't going to be what they thought it was going to be. They've got mom or dad at home now that are 79, they're probably going to live to be 88,
mm-hmm.
so they've got another 10 years of caring for mom or dad. So And it's that plus the baby boomers have the wherewithal, the money, the affluence, okay, to pay for these much-needed services that we offer elderly people. And they're inclined to pay. They're not like the former generation or the prior generation of their parents that were disinclined to spend money. The baby boomer generation is very inclined to spend money.
Now, why did you choose not to go this route as far as actually establishing the business as a franchise? You already have an established franchise, and it's a very successful one at that.
Well, and I was going to add, too, that while there are a lot of franchised companies in senior companion care, over time, it's going to be a growing percentage, but there's a lot of people in senior companion care that just sort of fell into it. They're unsophisticated people. So you have, and I call those the little independent operators or the mom and pop. Mm-hmm. You know, they just sort of fell into the business. They're not, you know, overly sophisticated people with a lot of business acumen, but they know a lot about caring for others. They may have cared for their own relatives. They started caring for a neighbor. Next thing you know, it sort of grew into a business. So you see a lot of that in any community that we go into. But then, of course, there are the traditional franchises that started basically back in 1994, 95, and several mm-hmm. of them have started in the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
We are not a franchise, even though I'm a big believer in franchising the franchise system. After all, it created financial independence for me. I have nothing against that. It's just that when I decided to get involved in this business, in 1998, I had every intention in the world of building my own corporate store and franchising in a very traditional way.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I got into the business, I realized that, listen, this is a business of people serving people. Yes, you got to have systems. You need to know how to build and operate a business, but there's no tie-in of a good or service on a continuing basis. And frankly, a franchise is the wrong sort of message that you want to send in this very personalized senior companion care. So for several reasons, I decided that franchising in a very traditional way was not an acceptable business format for our national rollout. So what we did is we put our heads together and we innovated the membership model.
Mm-hmm.
We know of no other business that has a membership model. We innovated it and we took a little bit about what we know from FTD florists, wherein those are independent florists around the United States that draft on the reputation, credibility, and success of FTD, a lot like AAA as well. Where you have the AAA endorsement. So our business model is a hybrid between a traditional sort of business opportunity and a franchise. And so there's some real important advantages we have in our membership model that's accounted for, in part, our success in our national rollout and promises to really propel us to a leadership role near term. It's a combination of several different factors, but certainly that model has really helped. And I can tell you that the reason for that is that we tend to attract a more sophisticated sort of individual that's really not relying on their accountant or lawyer to tell them what to do. They have a background in management, they have a background in sales and marketing, they might have a background in healthcare, so they know that they could do this business even on their own. They're convinced of it, but they don't have to because we're going to give them the tools and resources they need in order to promote and operate their business without all of the other strings that are attached with the traditional sort of franchise. So I looked at it and I realized that the franchising model just really didn't work. I saw absolutely no reason whatsoever to justify a 10-year contract, having a new franchise owner sign a 10-year contract promising to pay me a royalty. That made absolutely no sense to me. It does. It certainly does in my franchise business,
mm-hmm.
where they're dependent on technical support, where they're dependent on a continuing supply of replacement parts for the things that they repair. So that team that runs that, I'm no longer involved in the day-to-day part of that business, but that team that runs that is very, very important to the continuing success and viability of that franchise business. That's in sharp contrast to senior companion care. While we do provide ongoing services, we give people tools right out of the gate, tools and resources they need to promote and run their business. And this is a business of the heart. It's not a big, it's not a technical thing where it takes years and years and years to learn how to do this business. I get a kick out of individuals that are trying to sell their franchises and sell their models and so forth that talk about having 25 years in senior companion care.
Right.
The reality is if you can't get this in a couple of years, you're not going to ever get it. So really what they have is 2 years of experience 12 times over.
Right, right. That's a good distinction. If you had to say what some of the top characteristics of your successful members are, what would they be?
Well, you know, our members, our successful members, in fact, all of our members are come from varied backgrounds. There's real no common denominator. They come from high tech. They come from, you know, Fortune 500 companies, sales. They come from healthcare backgrounds. So, what we do at the Seniors Choice is we promote good, sound models to build and operate your business. And everybody operates them a little bit differently, and everybody has their own sort of definition of success. But I can tell you there's some real common denominators with the successful members in the Seniors Choice. And I think, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, is they're passionate, they're truly passionate about helping seniors and really feel a moral obligation to educate the community on the benefits to the elderly and their families of remaining independent at home.
Mm-hmm.
It's a crusade with them. So it's that passion they have for helping seniors. If you don't have that, it's gonna show through and they won't be successful. When people understand, people meaning the elderly client or their families, when they understand you really care, Brian, that's when you get business and you get business hand over fist. They're committed. A successful member is committed to hiring only the very best caregivers. They don't pay lip service to us. They don't just hire anybody. So they train these people. They're really committed. And their standards are high. They're never compromised. In other words, they, the business owners, have character. And they look for other people that share that character to be their number one asset, really, which is their caregivers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those are important. The commitment and the passion. And I can tell you that our members... our more successful ones also agree with me that it's all about results, the results-oriented people. They remind themselves every day of their goals and they ask themselves every day, are they working on things that will get results that they're after? In other words, they have that goal line in sight and they ask themselves, and what I'm doing right now, is that going to get me the results that I want? And, you know, I think, too, that they have a strong belief, personal belief about marketing, and they're enthusiastic about marketing. I think that's really important. I don't see that in a lot of people. So this belief about marketing, and frankly, early on, especially if you're not spending the vast majority of your time in some marketing. So marketing role, you're not going to do as well. I'm not talking about selling.
Mm-hmm.
That's a small portion of what we do, but I'm talking about marketing in terms of relationship building. And I think a couple other things is, I know this is true, is that they're quick to accept responsibility and they're slow to blame others.
Mm.
You can make excuses in business and miss business, or you can make money, but you can't do both. You can do one or the
point.
Other.
Yeah.
And then lastly, they have a strong personal managerial and organizational skills or habits. They're action oriented, and they're good really at wearing a lot of hats and juggling a lot of balls at the same time, because
mm-hmm.
a lot of our business owner members do much of the work themselves early on. So they've got to be able to do a lot of things, not necessarily at the same time, but be prepared to juggle a lot of balls.
Mm-hmm. If you had to say on the flip side of the coin, what were some of the things that you think of that that keep people from reaching their goals as fast as they could in this business?
Well, some of them will never reach their goals because they do have some bad habits. And again, I think what you'll find if you called several dozen of our members just randomly throughout the United States, within the first 5 minutes of the conversation with them, you'll be able to decide whether they're successful at their business or not. And I think that excuse-oriented thing is really plagues the unsuccessful people. There's always an external sort of reason why they're not accomplishing their goals, why they're not getting clients, why they're not caregivers, and they're quick to blame other external sort of factors for their failing. So I think that's kind of a common characteristic of the members that have not succeeded, in fact failed and dropped out from our memberships, and they're no longer in senior companion care.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other thing too, which was that important lesson that I learned years ago, is they think they can do it all on their own without reaching out to others. And it certainly applies here. That's not going to happen. There's no way you can do this all on your own. After all, we all come into this world butt naked. We all leave butt naked. And in between, all we have is each other.
Right.
Really.
That's true.
So it's those people that are not contacting the corporate office, not letting us know what they're doing. They're not networking with other members, and they're certainly not networking in their community. In other words, they don't feel like they need to get up and get after it. They don't feel like they have that moral obligation to go out into the community and educate the community on the benefits of remaining independent in their home.
So it's really a lack of communication on both levels, not only back with the head office, but out in the community as well.
It's an extension of that. The good networkers, the more successful sort of business owners, are just that way in all aspects of their life. They have a lot of friends. They talk to people and they ask questions. They're good listeners.
Mm-hmm.
They're good listeners. I think, Brian, I think, you know, when I think about the members that are not successful, I think that they believe more that it's what you know as opposed to who you know.
Mm.
Yeah, there's some technical things you need to know about this business. You need to know some things.
Mm-hmm.
That's our job. We do an excellent job at that in terms of our very comprehensive manual, companion DVD training videos of over 40 hours, the week-long training session that we do. We're going to get you the technical stuff. But I can tell you that people that are overly sort of analytical and technical and fact-oriented, feature-oriented, as opposed to benefit-oriented, don't do as well. And this is really a senior companion. This is a business. It's a people business. And you're well served if you check your ego at the door, you leave your head out of it, and put your heart into it. If you do, you'd be glad you did. And I think... I think, lastly, that even though we were very thorough in our training materials about targeting your clients, who your market really is, I think some people just don't get it as well as other people. They need to understand in this business that your marketing efforts need to be directed towards the kids, the family primary caregivers. That's one of the most important things you need to understand. Because in senior companion care, especially in dealing with elderly people, the last person in the world that's going to hire you is that elderly, frail person that's living at home. They're the last ones that recognize they need help.
Mm-hmm.
They're the last ones to raise their hand and invite a stranger into their home, and they're the last to want to pay for it. So what you need to do is understand there is a need, and you need to get the family involved in that decision. So you have to understand who your market really is. and how you go about marketing and selling this very, very emotionally charged issue of senior companion care. Putting somebody in the home of mom or dad is very, very emotionally charged. I know this, and a lot of people my age are either know it already or they're soon going to learn that. So that's an important consideration. And they don't understand the ideal caregiver profile either. They're really, really, they're not focusing on that ideal caregiver. They're just taking anybody that comes along. So they're not finding people with the proper character. And we know, after years in this business, that homemakers are a wonderful, for example, caregiver for us. The homemaker that's probably never been in the workforce, maybe 45 to 65 years old, who's raised a family, even taken care of parents, and really what she's doing is, for us as a caregiver, is a natural extension of what she's been doing her whole life. So it's that sort of individual that really doesn't understand the sort of ideal caregiver that they need.
Gotcha. Okay, Steve, you mentioned earlier the royalty versus dues being one of the differences between the membership and the franchise organization. What are some of the other differences?
Well, Brian, there's several other really advantages that our membership format has over the traditional franchises in this industry. One of them was the royalty that you mentioned. We don't charge a royalty. We charge a fixed monthly due, and we give our members value each and every month for that. I also mentioned the fact that we don't force people to enter into a long-term financial commitment to us. In a traditional franchise, there's a 10-year term. You're obligated. If you're in this industry, you're going to owe them a royalty, which will amount to tens of thousands of dollars, perhaps even each year, depending on how successful you are and the amount of gross revenues that you have. So keep in mind that we have a long-term financial obligation to you to continue our services, but it's month-to-month as far as you're concerned. So I want to emphasize that. That's an important consideration. More sophisticated people see that. They recognize that. And it's a real advantage to them. The other thing that's different about our membership model is that we're helping you build your business. You're not leasing our business from us for 10 years. It's really the case in a franchise. In a franchise business, you're leasing that business from them. It's a 10-year term. If you're in compliance with the franchise agreement, substantially, yes, you can enter into an additional 5 or 10 year commitment with them. But in that particular case, you're betting on the franchise's success. You're using their name. I mentioned earlier too, that's not altogether a good thing in this industry because it's very much a personalized, local, service-based business. It's highly emotionally charged. People, when they're thinking about hiring somebody to take care of mom or dad in their home, they're not thinking franchise. Many people have a negative sort of impression of a franchise, and they often associate it with a good, like a hamburger or something like that, where there's a one-size-fits-all. There's no flexibility with respect to care plans, for example. So it can work against you. Having a franchised business in senior companion care arguably is a disadvantage. I thought it would be a disadvantage to us early on. I'll admit it, Brian, that we were unable to allow our members to use the senior's choice. From a selfish point of view, mm-hmm. I want national representation. I wanted to brand it, but I couldn't do that and still avoid the application of franchise laws in most states. So while I thought it might be a disadvantage, it's actually been a huge advantage. It's been a real reason why a lot of more sophisticated people call us, because they want to build their own businesses. They don't want to just lease mine. So there is a requirement that members develop their own name, their own identity for their company. Having said that, it's very important to draft on the experience of the senior's choice, the national representation and the experience. It always seems like the smarter people, the people with all the answers, always come from places other than your own hometown. They come from the big cities. So right. That sort of mentality really works. So we show our members how they can draft on our success and reference themselves as a member of the Senior's Choice, again, much like the FTD florist format. So that's an important consideration. It's their own business. So it tends to be an advantage, really. While I thought it was a disadvantage for us early on, it's been a huge advantage for our members. They want to build their own companies. The other thing, the other important consideration that's not in sharp contrast, it's more of a nuance, is with respect to our protected territories that we offer. In any traditional franchise, you're granted a protected territory, wherein you're the only franchisee in that given area. That's a wonderful thing in most businesses, in most industries. It can really work against you in this industry, however. So what we have is essentially a hybrid protected territory. While we call it that, since our franchise competitors call it that, and they assign such huge value to that, we don't want to minimize that value. But what we do is our territories, frankly, are non-compete agreements, wherein we commit to our members that we're not going to promote or sell this business concept or this business opportunity to anybody else in their area. They define what that area is. Yes, there's some guidelines that we'll offer, but in many cases, the scope of the territory, the region that they're in, is oftentimes as much as twice or more as large as the typical franchises offer. So yes, there is a protected territory in the sense that we're not going to compete with you and sell essentially your neighbor to do the same thing. The important difference, the nuance that I mentioned earlier, was that we don't limit where you can go. In other words, you're not, you can go into another neighboring county if you want, especially if there's not another member over there. But even if there is, if a referral leads you that way. So with our society on the move and mom or dad not living near the kids anymore, it could really be problematic. Some people have argued, for example, that they'd rather have a protected area where no other member could absolutely solicit business in their area. You know, as a practical matter, after dealing with several hundred members over the last several years, it's never a problem. The grass is not greener elsewhere. People build their own businesses in their own backyard, essentially. And in this business, too, you can't just go all over the countryside with these services because, once again, the important asset that you have is your caregivers. You need a pool of very capable caregivers in a particular area that you're in. So this leapfrogging of counties and working in neighboring members' businesses, frankly, is not a legitimate concern. What we encourage when we're blessed with having several members in any given region is that they get together, you know, they network together and they work together on reciprocity of referrals. And that's really the sort of individual that joins us, is they're team players and they understand that there's just no economics in leapfrogging into another territory, especially if there's another member there. So frankly, we just don't ever hear of other members stepping on one another's toes. But that's an important consideration. And we don't limit where you can go. If you want to expand your territory, it doesn't cost you more.
So once again, you're really offering the flexibility back to the member instead of having a situation where you're controlling exactly what's going to happen. I mean, like what you just mentioned, I mean, if you step back and take a somewhat objective look at it, if you had a protected territory from a franchise, and you're bound to have issues with people crossing over anyway, aren't you? I mean, you're going to have a situation where that's going to be a challenge no matter what.
Yeah, in a traditional franchise, arguably, that's a violation of the franchise agreement, and they could be terminated. So you know, there's some fairly serious results from that, and that's just really patently absurd. I wholeheartedly disagree with that concept. So I don't think limiting people to a specific area makes any sense at all in the senior companion care business. So, but to, you know, to use your term, choices. I mean, that's what we're all about. We don't tell people what to do and how to do it. We suggest. We prescribe. We show you how we build our businesses, our own companion care business, and how we've helped hundreds of others in different parts of the country build their own companion care businesses. You can do what you want. It's your business. It's your life. You can expand the scope of the services that we offer. You can contract the scope of the services. So yeah, it's all about choices, and that really is why our membership structure, frankly, is superior to the traditional franchises, and once again is propelling our success nationwide.
Well, one of the recurring themes that comes up to me is time and time again when I speak with you, and it's one of the reasons why I chased you for months to try and get a hold of you and have this interview, was the fact that, I mean, if there's anything that truly fits an entrepreneur, and that's really what this program is all about, is bringing all those specifics back to the people that either are entrepreneurs or want to be entrepreneurs. And one of the things that became patently obvious to me was that this business is set up, your business is set up for entrepreneurs. I mean, all the stops are really taken out. If somebody wants to be truly an entrepreneur and they want to grow their business and they want to build their own business, as opposed to what you mentioned earlier as far as leasing a business temporarily for 10 years, if they want to grow their business and build their business and be a true entrepreneur, this is the only logical choice.
Well, from my perspective, the other logical choice would be to simply do it all on their own.
Uh-huh.
But there's, you know, in my business experience, entrepreneurial experience, I didn't have any choice in some cases. I had to build the business from scratch. But certainly here we have a membership model that affords people the opportunity of connecting with us. We're going to teach you how to build, promote, and operate this business. We're going to give you the skills and resources you need to connect with caregivers and clients in your area. So you don't need to do it all on your own. But yeah, one could argue that joining a franchise is not an entrepreneurial sort of effort. But, it has served us well, that's for sure.
Well, most of my listeners know by now that one of my particular hot points is systems. Time and time again, everybody that I've ever interviewed that have been especially as successful as Steve and all of his ventures always go back to having patented systems that they use time and time again. And what would you say that some of the systems that you've got that make your members more successful than most people in this business? Like, for instance, if you were going to start your business by yourself and go do this, I mean, you obviously wouldn't have the opportunity to benefit from all of your years of experience in setting up all these systems. But what are some of those systems?
Well, first of all, we're disciples of systems. We're believers in systems. You have to have in order to be successful in business. It isn't really, though, the number one reason why our members are more successful in any given area than other franchise owners or other individuals that are involved in senior companion care. The reason is it's all about the person. It's you, the member that joins us. It's their drive, determination, their dogged determination to succeed at this. And it's all those things that they embody earlier we talked about that makes them successful in their lives. So that's the number one important thing, is the individual that joins us. We get, as I said before, a more sophisticated individual. We're not finding a lot of homemakers join us with absolutely no business or healthcare or sales. They're just not homemakers that are joining us that are looking for a recipe and for somebody to call them every morning to get them out of bed. We frankly have a superior model for the reasons I mentioned, and we have a pre-qualification process that our members go through. What we're really looking for, the very best people that are going to give us the greatest likelihood of success, because let's face it, that's the key to our success in achieving my goal of a leadership role in senior companion care. It is getting the very best people to join us, as opposed to building the business on their own or joining a franchise. We get the very best people. We don't really necessarily need the best tools. We do, okay? But we're looking first for the very best person, because that person is going to develop more market share than anybody else, regardless of the tools that we offer.
Mm-hmm.
We've got great tools. We offer them. We offer them in different formats to the very same, all members, the very same people, for example, that come to our training. Some do exceedingly well. They take those tools and resources and they just do fabulously well. And other people don't do as well. They have sort of a mediocre business, and some of them actually fail. So it's that individual that's important, not minimizing systems. We have the systems. we will teach people, we've got the tools and the systems, how to build and promote their business, and get caregivers. That's what we're really good at. So absolutely, systems are really important.
You know, in the business world today, we're constantly reminded, and you often hear about competitive advantages. I mean, it seems to be the topic of, well, the last couple of years. A lot of business books are coming out and highlighting competitive advantages in specific businesses and how to model that or duplicate that, if you will. What competitive advantages do you feel that your members have, and why would that be?
Well, it once again, it relates back to the individual. We know that there's just certain individuals we can almost tell from the get-go that are really strong in certain areas. They could have just exceedingly exceptional, outstanding people skills. The ability to build rapport, for example, is a very, very wonderful thing to expand your business. So it's that uniqueness, that unique selling proposition of members that's going to get them the results that they really want. Not everybody, though, is a Dick Cavett. Not everybody is Mr. and Mrs. Personality. Mm-hmm. It's not going to show through necessarily. So we know that, and what we've done is we've developed internally our own tools to give people uniqueness in their community, something that will give them a decidedly different sort of take on the industry. People will view them in a different light than they view other competitors that are in this industry. So we have several tools that essentially we rely on in order to establish that uniqueness. And two of them, for example, are, for example, the first one is the fall prevention program that we use. What's true about seniors is, as once again, the chief concern, the number one fear that all seniors have is loss of independence. Falling and the resulting injury oftentimes is a catalyst for loss of independence. A broken hip, for example, triggers oftentimes the decline of one's health. It's the number one chief reason for admission into a nursing home. And frankly, I'll tell you that half the people that suffer a hip injury that are over 65 die within 2 years. Wow. So falling is a very, very important and fearful thing for seniors and their family members. We know that keeping a senior independent in their home starts with keeping them on their feet. Mm-hmm. So this is a powerful public message that we, our members, have the tools to go out as fall prevention experts and educate the community, the baby boomer kids and the seniors themselves and other people that have naturally existing economic connections to seniors that could be lead generators for them. And there are many in every community. We know who they are. We identify these people. We seek these people out. We go to them with this public message, this service. We're giving back to the community real things that family members and seniors can do to keep people, elderly people, from falling. So it's that sort of fall prevention program that we equip people with and empower them and show them exactly how they can take this tool and go into their community and really get in front of the right individuals and the right groups with something of real value. So the community is seeing that this person isn't just going to them with their handout and a brochure in hand saying, I have something to sell you, do you want to buy it? No, our members go into the community giving back and really showing them that there's some real things they can do. Identifying why seniors fall, some real things they can do to prevent falling. So that's a tool that, frankly, many of our members are using that we released over a year ago that's been very, very successful and powerful for many members in establishing their own unique identity. The other, there are a few others, but the biggest one that I'm most excited about today that we're going to release early next month is our CCA program. Now, Brian, CCA stands for Certified Companion Aid. Believe it or not, in this industry of senior companion care, there's no certification for caregivers. Yes, there is in the medical field, there's CNA certified nursing assistants and HHAs and RNs and so forth, but there's no certification continuing education program for caregivers. Well, we've developed our own continuing in-service educational program that we've been working on for a couple of years now. Again, so we're really excited about releasing it next month. And it's, once again, a manual-based and video-based continuing education program that leads to a CCA certificate, Certified Companion Aids. Trademarked, it's going to be internal certification of the senior's choice. We'll do that here out of the corporate office for the benefit of our members. So the members will be responsible for making sure that their caregivers get the educational content, they watch the video, and then they pass an examination after each chapter. They must receive a passing grade. So, in the end, what we're really showing people, and people in home healthcare especially, the healthcare sector, where we get a lot of leads for clients, is that the number one concern that they have is, who are your caregivers? Are they screened? What's their level of experience? Are they trained, loving people? Are they the sort of individuals that we would want in the homes of our mom or dad? So that's a tough one for especially someone new in a community to establish that credibility and that confidence that you're really getting the greatest caregivers. This is a way where you could do that. They can build on the strength. They could actually show them the materials, which they'll be extremely impressed with. Really show them that these people, these former homemakers, are now trained and skilled to care for senior citizens. They understand the issues facing seniors. So that CCA program is going to be a wonderful marketing tool. We're going to have the only CCAs in town. So that we're really, really excited about. And what we did receive from that, I have to tell you, is an unintended benefit in terms of the morale of our caregivers. Mm-hmm. Many of these people never really thought of themselves as professional people. They are now. They have initials after their name. And it's been a wonderful opportunity in our testing of this CCA program where members/business owners are able to bring their caregivers together and award them, you know, on a quarterly basis. Those caregivers that really have stepped it up and gone through the in-house training and successfully passed the CCA program. So those are illustrations of how we can help our members establish their own unique selling proposition or their own unique identity in any community that we're in.
Yeah, it's one of the things that really amazed me about it. It's the constant evolvement. I mean, you're definitely not a person to step back and just let things do what they naturally progress. I mean, you're constantly innovating. You're always three steps ahead of everyone else.
I have a great team, Brian. You're absolutely right. Our sole focus is on certainly on marketing. We need more great members in order for us to assume a leadership role in senior companion care. So marketing is important. And innovation, that's all I do every day. Is marketing and innovation.
What would you say some of the biggest concerns people have when starting a companion care business?
Well, they're probably the same sort of concerns that most of your listeners experience when transitioning from employment to self-employment. But I can tell you that we know that virtually all of our member candidates are concerned about the value they're going to get for the money they spend with us in terms of enrolling and so forth, the initial fees and so forth. So that's always a chief concern. I can tell you, and I don't necessarily need to tell you, you can just call any of our members nationwide. They'll tell you that we do what we say we're going to do, which is a hallmark of all successful entrepreneurs and business owners. So value for the money spent. I can tell you that this is the best money they're ever going to spend if they decide that senior companion care is right for them. There's absolutely no way they can duplicate our systems. The other thing that they're obviously concerned about is, how do I find clients? How do I find caregivers? And that's a big concern. Everybody's concerned about that. What I do know is that they tend to be more concerned about one or the other. There's two businesses here. You're in the caregiver business and you're in the client acquisition and retention business. And so that is something that obviously we focus on. The proof is in the pudding. In order to get results, you got to get clients, you got to get caregivers. So that we cover very comprehensively, both in terms of our training and our ongoing coaching and consultation. And they're always concerned about, can I make a living at this business? yeah, this is one way to become financially independent. There's no question. We have people in a relatively short period of time that have reached financial independence. But the chief concern is, can I make a living in this business? And lastly, is this the right business for me? Once again, the members, once they go through our screening process and pre-qualification process, these are sophisticated people. They bring gifts and strengths to the table, and there are a lot of different things. There's a lot of different business opportunities that they could get involved in, and so that's always a big concern, and that's much of the time that we spend with members early on when we're talking with them or interviewing them, if you will. It's really trying to get a handle on whether or not, one, we think they could be successful at this business, which, once again, is really what we're looking for, and two, whether it's really the right business for them, whether this is the business where they can combine passion with their strengths and build a masterpiece out of it.
Well, in wrapping up, I want to make sure that if there are any of my listeners out there that have become half as excited as I am about the business that you've created here, how would they contact you? What would be the best way?
Well, that's easy. They could go to our website, which is www.theseniorschoice.com. Theseniorschoice.com.
Well, thanks again for taking so much time with me today. I really appreciate it, and I'm sure our listeners, if they apply just a portion of some of the masterful skills that you brought today, I mean, they're gonna build that masterpiece with their lives. So, thanks again.
My pleasure, Brian.